Wow. Y'all are so quiet. All right. Yeah. Sure. All right. All right. Man, y'all are also quiet and attentive. This is unusual. This better be good. Yeah, give you some time. Everybody wake up. All right. Well, this morning we're gonna deviate a little bit from Matthew. And this question has come up a few times. And I don't do this often. I don't really address this kind of stuff often. Just because it can take away from Jesus Christ and things like that. But on the other hand, the Bible is a very practical book, but getting people to believe that it's practical is a different thing. When God laid out laws for his nation, for Israel, those laws told a group of people how to conduct their lives, how the government ought to conduct its life, and how to legislate, how to run a nation and do it God's way. And I know we Gentiles look back on the law and say, okay, well, you know, if they're Old Testament, they're trying to keep the law to get saved or something. That's, you'll see over and over, the law was the consequences of not keeping the law in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to rehash all this stuff, but just say it. Consequences of not keeping the law in the Old Testament meant the Gentiles would come in and take the Israelites out of their land and run the land. And so that being said, the point is, it was a very practical thing. There are things in the Old Testament, and this is part of the introduction, we'll get to the meat of all this. There are things in the Old Testament that if our nation ran legislation and judicial systems the way Israel was told to, there'd be a lot less problems. And I'll give you an example, just a real quick example, simple example. For instance, there are rules for Israel in the law about lawsuits. And if a lawsuit, for instance, was proven to be frivolous, then whoever enacted the lawsuit or was the prosecution or was the one trying to get money from someone else, if that lawsuit was frivolous, then whoever brought the lawsuit had to pay whatever they were looking for. For instance, if you sued McDonald's for $100 million and it was found out that your lawsuit was frivolous, you owed McDonald's $100 million. Now that would shut down a lot of lawsuits. So you understand then, it's a very practical thing, and God just tells the nation, this is how you ought to run a nation. And so with that said, that's the one example. There's a whole bunch of other examples, and like I said, I mean, I hope this doesn't take away from Jesus Christ, but the fact that God knows how to run a nation is pretty clear. He knows how to conduct business in a nation. And so there's one thing that's come up a couple times lately about private property and things like that. And I hope for those of you that haven't been here several times before, this isn't the normal Sunday school. This is kind of a little bit different. So don't think, if you don't like it, you know, this is not the normal thing here. But this question's come up a couple times. And I want to show you in the Bible, because the Bible, again, is a very practical book. Getting people to understand, that's a different story, but God deals with things like private property. He deals with things like protecting your property, and I mean, he deals with those things. He deals with things like retirement. He deals with things like, you know, young people and old people and middle-aged people and marriage and divorce and all those kinds of, he deals with all that stuff. And so we're going to look at one aspect. One question that showed up a couple times, and it deals with what's God's view on defending your property and private property and even like self-defense type stuff? And so that's going to be our Sunday school today. And I hope it's helpful. I hope it honors Jesus Christ, because I don't want to take away this time from him. But let's pray, and we're gonna look at some verses about all this. And let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd help us understand what we need to understand. Not to get a bad spirit about things, about just, you know, getting all anxious and nervous and you know, I don't know, getting all defensive about things, but just see your mind on some of these matters that really your laws, they come from your character. And that's the bottom line. Your prescriptions for people come from your character. And I pray that you'd help us this morning with this study. It's kind of just addressing a question. It's come up a few times, and I pray that you'd help us with it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 14. We're going to start here. And I'll say this. Just because God prescribes something, and just because this is the way God views an issue, if we can say, I hate using that word, but just because this is the way God views things, doesn't mean your country views things this way. And just because this would be God's law if he were in charge, doesn't mean it's the law of the land. Meaning, you can obey God in some situations and disobey the law of the land. I mean, they're not all harmonious. They don't all work together. Generally, the laws of nations end up contradicting God's laws in all kinds of places, and that's why nations come and go. They just fall apart. But Genesis chapter 14, verse 11. This is Abraham, and there's a battle, a fight with these kings. Genesis 14:11 says, "And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshel, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people." All right, so what you just read is that during some sort of war or battle, or there were these kings that stole things out of, they took things out of Sodom. Lot was one of the people that got kidnapped and all this. And so when Abram hears about Lot being kidnapped and his family and things like that, he arms the people that are in his house, and he goes and he recovers everything that was stolen. He recovers the people, he recovers the goods. And shortly after this, he'll meet Melchizedek, and of all the stuff that he recovers, he'll give a portion of all that. And so, anyhow, the record is that Abraham is perfectly in his right to protect what's his. He's God doesn't cite him for doing something wrong here. And I don't know what the laws of the land are. There may not be any laws of the land, of that land at that point in time. It may just be a dog-eat-dog kind of thing. But when Abram does this, it's okay. I mean, God just records that he armed his people. They went out. They recovered Lot. They recovered the goods. They recovered other people that had been kidnapped or prisoners of war and all this. And so there's God's record of Abram, and it's a practical matter. I mean, it's just a matter of people were taken, and Abram gets them back. All right, so there's no fault on Abram's part. He's not faulted by God, and you know, you should just let things, bad things happen to your family and things like that. That doesn't happen. So that's one of the first cases of this. Our people go and recover something that was stolen property or that was taken from them or something like that. So that's the first example. Now let me show you a law. Let me show you when God laid out a law. This is one thing he said about the nation and how it would conduct business. Look over in Exodus chapter 22. And no, we're not trying to form a militia here or whatever. I just want to show you these things in the Bible. And you know, if it's your responsibility to provide for your family, it's also probably your responsibility to protect what you provide for your family. All right, Exodus chapter 22. And verse 2. Here's a piece of legislation for Israel. It says this. This is about breaking and entering. Somebody gets caught breaking and entering, trying to steal something. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. So, very simple statement. Somebody breaks into somebody's house and they get killed in the process, there's no legal action to be taken. The person had no right to be in the house, had no right to be stealing from the other person, and if they chose to risk their life in that way, and they get killed in the process, the Lord told Israel, there's nothing to do about it. That person is just, that's what's happened to their life. Now, let's keep reading, because there's a little more to it. If the sun be risen upon him, verse 3, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution if he have nothing. Then he shall be sold for his theft, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. All right, simply put, if the thief isn't found, the property owner doesn't have a right to try to hunt down someone and find them. Now it becomes a matter of the court. And here's the prescription. If the thief is found, he's got to pay it back. You talk about prison reform, where taxpayers aren't paying for prisoners to be fed. This is where criminals have to pay their debt to society, not where taxpayers have to pay criminals' debt to society. You understand? So the whole legal system, I mean, there's a lot of similar things to this. But the point is, when God prescribed this to the nation of Israel, and he says, essentially, if you find a thief in your house and this guy gets killed in the process of stealing from you, there's no more action to take. That's it. That's what needs to happen. However, if you choose after you've been stolen from to go hunt this person down and try to make things right, that's the different issue. You can't do that. But in the process of all this, if it happens and if he's in the house, meaning the threat is immediate, okay, well, you can do something. But when the threat is not immediate anymore, you can't go hunt him down or anything. So you get the idea, I think. I think you understand the principle. But the principle, the point of the thing is, people, if you have property or valuable possessions, just like the way God takes care of his own people, just like the way the Lord provides for and takes care of his own people, if you have people within your household that are in an immediate danger, the Lord said, look, if somebody's in your house and you're in immediate danger and that person happens to be killed in the process, that's kind of too bad for them. Now, I say that, or just read it here, that may not be the law of the land. Do what? It is, okay. Well, in other parts of the world, it may not be the law of the land. So this is God's prescription, but it may not be the state prescription or the national prescription or the federal government's prescription. Just saying, this is what God's view of this is. And like I was praying earlier and just reflecting on all this, God's laws come from His character. This is part of His character. He takes care of His own people, provides for His own people, and when an enemy shows up, He takes care of He deals with these things. All right, so Exodus 22, we've read those verses. I'll show you another one. You say, these are all Old Testament. Yeah, they're Old Testament, and we'll see some New Testament ones too. But don't divorce God of the Old Testament from the God of the New Testament. It's the same God. He has the same beliefs about this stuff that He had when He prescribed for a nation how to conduct their business. All right, Nehemiah chapter 4. Here's another one. Nehemiah chapter 4. And I hope I'm not like, again, we're not trying to get you all self-defensive and all that stuff, but I don't know how else to say that. We're just not trying to create a militia. I'm just showing you from the Bible what God's prescription is for some of this stuff. All right, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17. So Nehemiah, just a little history. When Nehemiah, he's in a foreign land. He's in Persia. And he's from Jerusalem, and his city, the city he's from, is just in ruins. And so he's before the king over there in Persia, and he's kind of down about it and depressed about it. And the king asks him what's going on, and he says, "Well, I mean, how can I be happy when my nation is just falling apart?" And so, long story short, he gets a grant from the king to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And in the process of rebuilding, it's not just rebuilding, but it's also rebuilding with armed security, because that's what he needs. Because the enemies aren't gonna fight fair. And so Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17 says, "They which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, he that sounded the trumpet was by me." So put that in modern day terms. So the ones building the wall, they their holsters on, and they had their guns, and they're armed security as well as carpenters. I mean, they're building and they're protecting what they're building, because it doesn't make any sense to build something and allow someone else to just destroy it while you're building it. I mean, if you're going to provide for the nation, it makes sense you're going to protect what you're going to provide. All right, so here's Nehemiah, here's some armed guards who are building, and so they got armed security while they're building the wall, and that's the prescription. You got to do it, because the enemies are definitely out to kill them. Here's another one. Look in Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8. I'll give you a little history on this one too, real quick. Esther chapter 8, verse 10. So, in the book of Esther, the Jews are getting ready to face a Holocaust. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, you can identify with it. Genocide. The Jews are getting ready to face genocide. A wicked man named Haman has convinced the king of some things, and so he puts out a decree that basically gives Haman and all his people the right to destroy the nation of Israel. And so it's set up for this certain holiday. When this day comes around, they're going to round up Jews. They're going to kill them. They're going to put them into camps. They're going to destroy them. And so the Jews really don't have any way of protecting themselves, at least not legally, until Esther prays, Mordecai prays, and the Jewish nation prays. And then here's what the decree that comes back from the king to help the Jews. Here's what it is. Because he doesn't revoke what he said before. He just arms the people is what he does. He gives them a Second Amendment right now, you could say. Esther chapter 8, verse 10. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by posts on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together, to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them. Wow. That is self-defense. Now you have a right to defend yourselves, and there won't be any legal action against you if you defend yourself. That's what comes down from the king and Mordecai there. All right, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So here's the counter. The king had already made a decree that on this day, this rounding up is going to happen, and I think the king is just tricked into all this stuff. I don't think he wants it to happen. He clearly doesn't in the book of Esther. When he realizes what's going to happen, he regrets what's happened. So he doesn't revoke what he said. All he does is he just provides the nation of Israel a legal, I don't know what you'd say, just an opportunity where they're not going to be charged with anything if they choose to defend themselves. So if they feel assaulted, if they're being assaulted or somebody's coming to particularly to get rid of them, they have a right to defend their lives and they have a right to defend their property. And so that's the king's order, and you'll find out that when the people were strengthened that way by the king, the whole thing kind of falls apart when the people can fight back now. The whole thing kind of falls apart. So there's another instance here where the answer to the prayer was, to make a long story short, the answer to the prayers was just arm the people. That's pretty interesting. I understand it's Israel and all that. We'll look at some New Testament ones too. So this is God's view on protection and protecting the property and the people and things like that. And so what does Jesus Christ himself say about some of this stuff? Okay? Not that it would be different from the Old Testament. It's not. But what does he say? What words come out of his mouth? Look in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And verse 15. Or 35. Excuse me. Luke 22, 35. Luke 22:35 says, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, all right, things are changing a little bit, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. All right, so things have changed a little bit. He said, putting it in modern terms, that is, if you don't own a weapon, it would behoove you to maybe even sell a pair of clothes to get one. And here's the point. I'm going to send you out as preachers. That's your mission. You're going out as preachers. And there's going to be a lot of hindrances to that. And if something is going to hinder you from that mission and threaten your life in a certain way, or you have a right to defend yourself. So here's the recommendation from the Lord. Sell your clothes, or sell a pair of clothes and get a sword. And I imagine, you know, it's equivalent to get a gun, you know, get something, protect yourself. Now, look in Matthew. I'll show you another one. Matthew chapter 24, verse 43. Matthew 24, you've got a couple things that we'll deal with. Matthew 24, 43. This is the Lord's illustration of the end of the world. And he just uses an everyday thing here to illustrate it. He says, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." So the one responsible for the house, if he would have known a thief was coming, he wouldn't have just let the thief come. He would have dealt with the thief. And Jesus uses that as an illustration and says, look, this is the way people work. This is the way things are. If you have property and valuable possessions and people you love within a household, and you know danger is coming, you're neglecting your obligation to protect what's in your house. And so there's that. Now, here's another side of this that we haven't dealt with. The answer to every situation is not get a gun either. That's not the answer to every situation. There are times in the Bible where the Lord says, look, if you can get away from danger, just get away from it. If you can de-escalate the situation, de-escalate the situation. He says, for instance, in Proverbs, he says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Meaning, if you take it from way up here to way down here and de-escalate it, do that, if you can do that. And if you can get away, he says over there in Proverbs, he says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and avoids it. So that means the answer to every evil is not, I'm going to shoot it in the head or anything. The answer may be, just get out of the way. Stay away from it. Or... He'll say things like flee youthful lust, flee fornication, flee certain things. You just flee. You just stay away from. Active on this. Eat everything with. I'm going to fight it and kill it. Some opposition you meet with, de-escalate it. Some opposition you get away from it. But some opposition won't take no for an answer, and you just have to deal with it. And so that's the idea in all that. Here's another one. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I can see we're going to end early today because I don't have a whole lot more. But I'm sure y'all will want to discuss this. So 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 8, 1 Timothy 5, 8. The Bible says, "But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." All right, If you're going to provide for those in your house, but you're not willing to protect those in your house, I would think that's protecting and provision go kind of hand in hand. If you're going to provide, you're going to also provide protection and nourishment and help and all the things that are required to live for the people in your household. And again, to give God honor in all this, all of God's instructions and commandments come from His own character. This is how He does things. This is how He handles His business. He provides for those of His own household. He takes care of them. He protects them. This is His character put into words. It's His instruction that comes from His own heart. So. That's the last verse I've got for all this, and it just doesn't make any sense that if you're going to provide for people, and then you're going to allow thieves to just come and steal all the stuff you're providing, that's kind of doesn't make any sense. So I imagine, and the way I read this. If you're providing, you're also protecting. You're also taking care of your provisions. So there's some New Testament stuff. Again, the instruction from the Lord is, and these are some drastic situations. This isn't everyday stuff. Generally, the Lord says, look, if you can live peaceably with all men, do that. If you can get along with people, try to do that. He says that in Romans. Some folks won't take no for an answer. Some folks are hopped up on drugs and they don't reason at all. And so that's the choices they've made in life. And so when they show up at your house and they're going to hurt your family, that's a different story. However, I'll repeat it just because the Bible prescribes it and God says this is the way to handle business doesn't mean the legal system's going to see it that way. So just understand things like that. So there's some verses about private property, and I'll just mention one more. You don't have to turn there. But the Lord talks about paying employees, and He talks about giving what's His own to people, distributing how He wants to distribute with His own stuff. And then the fellow comes along and kind of complains that he's not getting a bigger portion or whatever. And the Lord says, well, I mean, it's my stuff. I can do with it what I want to do with it, can't I? And that's the idea. I mean, there is a such thing as owning property and having stuff that you take care of and you're responsible for. And I know that's becoming... I don't know, in the culture now, at least, maybe not in Texas, I don't know, but in some places in this nation, it's becoming a question and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, I guess we'll open it up for questions. Ken, go ahead. Well, that's what he said in Exodus. If the sun comes up, you don't have a right to pursue that. Yeah, that becomes a legal matter now. That becomes a matter for law enforcement to deal with. The issue is, and I'm glad you brought it up, Ken, the issue is there immediate danger or is there no immediate danger? If there's immediate danger, then lethal force is, the Lord said to the nation of Israel, look, if there's danger within the home, then and you deal with it, you deal with it. And there's no legal recourse for the thief. But if they get away, you can't go chase them down. That's something else. So